In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Law and Order UK.
No, not tomorrow. I'm on nights. Friday night? Yeah, but I'm worth waiting.
Oscar, deal with the disturbance on Creek Street.
Oscar Lima from 719, show me a sign to the disturbance at Creek Street. Over.
The young copper heads into the night in the control room.
Here you go, Maya.
Oh, you're a lifesaver. Long night. He's on tonight. The one I was talking about. My favourite voice. Nick Bentley.
Lima Oscar from 719. I have two suspects concerned drug dealing at Creek Street. Both appear to be in the possession of firearms. I need a Trojan unit and urgent assistance.
All units from Lima Oscar. That's officer requires urgent assistance. Creek Street. Can I have a Trojan unit, please?
Lima Oscar from 713. Show me assistance.
Received. First unit on scene. A situation report, please. 719, sit rep, please. Nick.
I'm hit. So's one suspect. Other suspect now towards Cornwall Road. I need an ambulance.
All units from Lima Oscar, a suspect with a firearm towards Cornwall Road. First unit
on scene, a sit rep, please.
Where's my backup? Where's Ray?
713 from Lima Oscar, where are you? 713.
Where's the backup? 719, are you receiving? Over. 719, are you receiving? Over.
Nick. 719.
Nick stops breathing.
Tell us you're okay. Nick.
He lies on the pavement. There's another body nearby. Images of London are overlaid by shots of the show's characters in action. Law. Bradley Walsh as DS Ronnie Brooks. Jamie Bamber as DS Matt Devlin. Harriet Walker as DI Natalie Chandler. Order. Ben Daniels as James Steele. Freema Aguman as Alicia Phillips. And Bill Patterson as George Castle. Ronnie, James, Alicia and Matt head through a courthouse chamber. Law and Order UK, original series created by Dick Wolfe. This episode is called Samaritan.
This is PC Nick Bentley, 24 years of age, been on the beat for 2 years. Took a bullet to the stomach, one to the thigh, which hit his femoral artery. Bled to death, took around about 4 minutes.
Caught in the crossfire. Nightmare.
Yeah. Your uniform just told me his partner was sorting out a parking argument at Waterloo Station, and when he got the shout, he misheard the address.
Well, this time of night round here, we're going to be struggling for witnesses.
To a pathologist.
Got anything, Joy?
9 separate bullet shells scattered around the scene from 2 different weapons.
So our men had no chance.
It looks like he's just started shaving, this kid.
According to his ID, he's 21 years old, carrying a .38 weapon. 6 of the shells came from him, the other 3 from a .22.
But what about the other drug dealer fella? Got any DNA traces on him?
Fingerprints on a bag of crack. Going to the lab now.
Bentley's partner's waiting over there. Let's go and see how he's doing.
What do you say to your husband on nights like this, Joy?
Never that it's one of us that got shot.
Matt and Ronnie are with Nick's burly partner, Ray.
I was at the back of the station. The taxi rank had been blocked in by a limo on an end night. Nick went on ahead. Well, I sorted the to-do out there. I should have been with him.
Well, don't beat yourself up. It could have happened to anyone.
Yeah, but I misheard the shout. I thought they said Leek Street, not Creek Street.
Was your radio working properly?
Oh, a dozen people having a ding-dong right in my ear didn't help.
Well, we're going to need a proper debrief and a statement from you, Ray, down at the station when you're ready.
Yeah, of course.
Forensics Lab, Bow Street, WC2, Monday, 7th of September.
24. Same age as me. It's no age to die.
It's never a good age. What do you got?
Well, back from the crime scene containing crack had 2 major sets of prints. The first was from the corpse, Aid Young, 21. Other prints belonged to a Theo Carson. Here's his PNC record.
Top. Blinding, Teddy. That is just a ticket after the old all-nighter.
A burglary, GBH, dealing heroin, ecstasy and ketamine. A full house. And he got off on all charges.
Lucky boy.
Not anymore.
That's got to be the worst thing in the world.
What, losing a partner?
Yeah. Sorry, I know you.
That's all right. Big Bob Logan. Lovely northerner from Whitby. Used to like gravy on his chips. And every chippy on our beat knew that it was his favourite, so he did it for him special. Got stabbed in a pub breaking up a fight. Nothing I could do.
They're in a parked car. Matt spots Theo Carson approaching.
Run.
Target sighted.
Call it in.
Oh, police! Get on the floor! Get down! Get down on the floor now!
Get down!
Get on the floor!
Get down!
Get down!
Right.
Four armed cops surround Theo, who's a tough-looking young guy. He lies face down on the road.
Theo Carson. Hey, what is this?
Like you don't know, son.
I'm arresting you on suspicion of the murder of PC Nick Bentley.
MIUHQ, Bow Street, WC2, Tuesday, 8th September.
I didn't kill him. You, told them so they understand.
Fingerprints on a plastic bag doesn't even prove he was dealing. He could have bought a sandwich, thrown the bag away, somebody else could have filled it with drugs.
See? She's good.
Thank you very much, if you let me do the talking.
Where were you at the time of the murder, Theo?
Not there.
Show me the murder weapon, prove Mr. Carson used it, or you're gonna have to let him go.
Exactly.
We know you fired shots, Theo. We've taken gunpowder residue from your hands and your clothes.
But you don't have a gun to match it.
What did you do with the gun, Theo? Did you take it home or throw it away?
Whatever you did with it, I promise you this, Theo. Our lads in uniform, we'll find it.
I don't know if you two are hard of hearing, but they haven't, have they? So unless you have the weapon, you're going to have to let my client go.
Carson's brief's absolutely right. If we don't have a weapon, we haven't got enough to charge
him. We have got CCTV of him running away from the crime scene a few minutes after Bentley was shot.
So he was out for a run. No connection.
Really sorry to interrupt. Met call logged a call from the witness who saw the shooting. Phone number and billing address if you want it.
Well done, Ange.
On a street corner.
It wasn't me. I didn't phone no one.
This is your mobile number.
Maybe.
Well, do you have your mobile phone on you now?
Maybe.
How old are you, Jaya?
Younger than you, that's for sure.
So was the poor bloke who got gunned down last night on the South Bank just for doing his job. Now, can I have a look at your mobile phone, please?
Jaya, a leafletter, hands over her phone.
Thank you. 999, 3:47 a.m. Snap. What did you see?
Yeah, I didn't see nothing. My dad says, don't get involved, don't see nothing. You're only going to bring trouble on yourself.
With all due respect, Jay, your dad's an idiot. If we all keep to ourselves, what happens to the community?
Not my problem, is it?
It is now.
Young Jaya, who wears hoopy earrings, checks mugshots on a monitor. Theo's picture appears. She glances at Natalie.
Am I going to have to speak in court?
Just focus on identifying the right person for now.
She identifies Theo.
It was number two. I saw him shoot the other guy in Leggett.
Good girl.
So you got a witness? I'm telling you, I didn't shoot the pig.
The copper.
So why don't you tell us what happened?
We were finishing our deal. Ed was all hyper-like, but he'd been jittery all along. Then the copper comes round the corner, no warning, sees us and shouted. Ed just went off. Ed shot the cop in the leg first. Then he shoots him again in the stomach. Then Ed starts shooting at me, claiming it was a setup. I'm shouting, telling him I hadn't done anything. Then I started shooting too.
And you shot Ed Young.
It was self-defense, man. I had to stop him.
Well, you did that all right.
I thought that cop would be all right.
But he wasn't.
That's not my fault, though. That's down to you boys.
And how'd you work that out?
When I went round the corner, I see a copper in a doorway, just standing there. Almost like he's hiding. See, what I don't get is that bloke was injured, that copper. He wasn't dead. So why was this other copper just standing there? He could have been there, helped him. He let him die, not me.
Matt glances briefly at Ronnie, who watches young Theo with a scowl.
Gov! Bullet that killed Bentley matches Aid Young's gun.
So Theo Carson didn't shoot Nick Bentley.
But he did kill Aid Young. Weapon was found on a building site off York Road. Carson's DNA all over it. Connects up with the gunshot residue we took from his clothes.
Thanks, Toddy.
So, no one gets charged with Nick Bentley's death?
Not unless you want to arrest Ade Young's corpse.
Well, what about Theo Carson's evidence? A cop around the corner not going to help.
You shut the door.
Ronnie heads across to shut the door to Natalie's office.
Do we believe Carson?
Well, why would he lie?
Same reason why dogs piss on lampposts. It's their nature.
Nah, he knew his number was up. And it was the way he said it. It wasn't like he was trying to stitch anyone up. It was the fact that he couldn't understand it.
Why are we even discussing this? Come on, Ron. There's no way one plot leaves another to die.
Well, we've got a witness who says different, and it is our duty to follow it up, even if it is just to rule it out.
And you're going to tell that to the uniform boys, are you?
I don't want you to say a word to anyone. This stays between us three for now. Expand the CCTV collection to get us a wider view of the area, see if there's any footage taken from any buildings near the crime scene.
You are kidding. You want to pursue this?
A police officer has died. We follow up every piece of evidence we've got.
Lyle Street, Southeast 1, Thursday, 10th of September.
CCTV? Don't have any, sorry.
You must own half the buildings around here. Well, I can see at least half a dozen cameras within 150 yards. You're telling me you have no closed-circuit footage of that night?
I didn't put new DVDs in the recorders.
Well, that's very unfortunate.
Have you got any DVDs of the night before the incident?
I think so.
And what about the night after?
I think so.
Well, excuse me, sir, but any other nights you forgot to put the DVD in?
I don't think so. I'm sorry about the policeman getting shot. But like you say, it's unfortunate. I can't help you.
On the South Bank in the daytime.
No, he's been nobbled. Someone's got to him first.
Ron, seriously, can we knock this on the head now, please? You're seeing patterns that ain't there. It's probably a simple explanation.
Matt, open your eyes, son. Someone's taken us for a couple of monkeys, mate. I mean, who knows the procedure, eh? Who knows where to look first? It's other old Bill.
I'm sorry, I just don't buy it. This ain't the bleeding 70s. We're not knee-deep in corrupt coppers. And the kind of person who joins the force is not the kind of person who leaves a colleague to die.
99 times out of 100, I agree. But let's just say this is one out of the 100 that ain't so pure.
Just explain to me why you're so keen to take the word of a drug dealer over the word of a fellow officer.
Well, that's fine, then. Every copper's the same.
That's not what I'm saying,
right? Right. Well, then we owe it to Nick Bentley to rule out Theo Carson's claim.
How do we do that?
Quiz uniform.
Bow Street Police Station, WC2, Friday 11th of September.
11 years as sergeant, never lost one, till now.
Well, I don't see as there was anything else you could have done.
We're all in shock down here. Bentley was a good lad, you know? Popular. Goalie in the five-a-side team. Probably would have been CID material for you boys in a few months.
The lad who killed Nick Bentley didn't survive the shootout, but we have charged Theo Carson with his murder.
Right. Now, if there's anything you need to make the case against Carson, just yell. We can make everything move a lot faster down here.
Well, a lot faster than Ray Griffin, hopefully.
Bald-headed Sergeant Drake turns round.
Sorry? Well, I was just saying, Griffin was late to the scene. Not much coppers, Bentley's backup, eh?
Back on the booze, Ron?
No. Just saying. Unfortunate.
And he's torn up about it. But there was an IRV and a Trojan unit that also didn't get there in time.
True, but they were a lot further away, to be fair.
Is there something you want to say, DS Brooks?
Well, you must be disappointed in your men.
Matt avoids a glance from Drake.
Ray Griffin's a good copper. He didn't get there in time. Sometimes it goes like that.
But not in 11 years under your command, eh?
I've been round to tell Nick Bentley's mum her worst nightmares come true. We're all hurting down here. If you start impugning my officers, you'll be taking your gonads back to CID in a paper bag. Do we understand each other?
In CID.
Happy now? Or is there someone you've omitted to piss off?
This is how we do it. Poke them and see if they bite.
No, not when it's one of ours. And not when he's grieving for one of his boys!
So what? Everyone here gets a free pass, do they?
No. They get what everyone else gets. Some basic courtesy and a little respect.
Let me explain something to you, son. Just so as we understand each other. We set an example to the rest of society. So if anyone here falls below that standard, the gloves are off. So if people get a bit prickly or their feelings get hurt, that is tough. I can live with that. Got it?
D.A. Chandler asked me to pass you this, quietly.
Nick Bentley's personnel files. Very good, Henge. Your star.
Do my best. Nick Bentley, perfect record until about 3 months ago. Then there were a couple of written warnings, absences, turning up late, and then he stopped playing for the five-a-side team.
What?
Now, talking to the girls downstairs, there's something in the file that's not there.
And what is that?
He was gay. He'd never told anyone, kept it hidden, until one of the other PCs saw him outside a club in Soho snogging another bloke.
And don't tell me that was about 3 months ago.
She nods on a bridge.
So he was gay, so what? Loads of coppers are gay.
And there are loads of people who ain't happy about it.
Well, I can believe it. Nick Bentley took some stick and maybe it knocked him a bit, but everyone gets stick. You're too tall, you're too short, you're too fat, you're too thin. They called me Mick for the first 6 months because my family are Irish. It's just banter.
Late backup isn't banter, Matt.
What, so now his backup was late because he was gay?
I'm saying it's a possibility. Just humour me, right? I mean, why don't we check all the facts in Griffin's statement, let him talk us through it, and if it all looks kosher, I will let it go. I promise.
MIUHQ, Bow Street, Friday, 11th of September.
I was on the corner of Leek Street when I realised the mistake. So I turned round and ran the other way. Fastest I've ever run. I barely breathed by the time I got there. Nick was on the ground. Big pool of blood coming out of his thigh. The dealer had been shot in the head. I tried CPR, but Nick was already dead by then. The IRV and the Trojan turn up a few moments after that.
Righto. Thanks, Ray. You know how it is, mate. Everything by the book. We have to double-check all the notes in your evidence book. Just having a look at this map, though, for a second. You might be able to clear something up for us.
Of course.
Ray sits back down and studies the map.
Crime scene is in Creek Street. Yeah? Now, you said you was originally at Waterloo Station, and then you mistakenly went to Leek Street, which is there.
Yeah.
Well, me and Matty, just out of interest, we actually did that route. Well, when I say we, I mean Matty did all the running. I just stood there with a stopwatch.
I don't get you, Ron.
Well, I'm pretty sure you'd agree that Matty is probably a little bit fitter than you.
A lot fitter, I reckon, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, a lot fitter. But from the time you got the shout to the time you actually radioed in to tell him you was at the scene was 4 minutes.
If you say so.
Well, Matty had one hell of a job managing to run from Waterloo down to Leek Street, then up to Creek Street, the crime scene, in that time. 4 minutes. I mean, it took him almost 8 minutes, and that was at full pelt.
Ronnie turns to look at Matt.
If you weren't so sure, I'd even go so far as to say it couldn't be done.
Well, I probably never made it all the way up to Leek Street. Just felt like it, you know.
Ray smiles. Matt frowns.
Sorry, Ron.
Yeah.
You said you were in the corner of Leek Street.
Yeah. I might have got a bit confused there.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Ray? They're serving a disciplinary on you.
Why is this suddenly a disciplinary matter?
Like I said, it's only procedure. It's just that your memory and your signed statement aren't matching, are they? And we need to ask you a few more questions just to make absolutely sure.
Now, is there anything else that's confusing you?
No, Sarge. My statement is my best memory.
Did you like PC Bentley, Ray?
Sorry?
You and Nick Bentley, did you get on?
I didn't really know him that well. The other night was only the second time we'd been out on the beat together. He was a lot younger than me. We mixed in different groups.
Did you know he was gay?
No. I didn't know that. Really, was he?
Got an opinion about gay men in the police force, Ray?
Not especially. Sorry, how does this relate to Bentley's death? Huh? He was shot by a dealer because he was a copper, not because he was a gay.
Standing, Ray glances shiftily from Matt to Ronnie, who tucks away his specs.
No, you're right, Ray. Absolutely. Thanks. That'll be all for now.
Ray walks out.
The more you look at Ray Griffin's account of events, the more it falls apart. The evidence backs up Theo Carson's statement.
You still don't get the motivation, though. There's no history of any animosity between him and Bentley or him and any other gay officer.
All right. So, maybe you're right. Maybe there is something dodgy.
Well, listen, I'm praying it's not, Matt. You've got to believe me.
What have you got?
Ray Griffin is branch chairman of something called the League of Faith for Christian Officers. It's a hardline religious group within the station, and apparently a lot of the older uniform movers and shakers are members.
So what?
So they bar membership to all gay officers, saying that it's whatever, it doesn't fit with Bible teachings. Anyway, I dug around, and Nick Bentley's a former member. And said he'd never admitted to being gay.
It's the best way of putting people at their ease.
Especially your immediate superiors. Be like them. And until 3 months ago, Bentley was.
And he was spotted off duty with another bloke.
And that would really piss off Ray Griffin.
Yeah, but still piss him off enough to leave a man to die.
Ronnie raises his eyebrows. Matt shrugs despairingly. Natalie cringes and holds her chin. In James's office...
Our governor has squared it with the DPS and the IPCC. They're happy that this is a public interest case worth prosecuting. Ray Griffin had a duty of care which he failed to provide.
You want to charge a serving police officer with manslaughter, gross negligence?
If we can't police ourselves, why should we expect the public to trust us?
You've got to see the hornet's nest this will stir up. Isn't it best to keep it as an internal disciplinary issue?
James, why do you do your job?
To make a difference. Make a contribution.
And you do it brilliantly, if you don't mind me saying. However, let's assume someone in the CPS was wrongly prosecuting people, victimising people, basically undermining all that wonderful work you do in the eyes of the public.
Ronnie...
No. Come on. What would you want to happen to them?
I'd want to see them exposed and punished.
Precisely. Ray Griffin tars us all. How are we supposed to get new blood into the police service if an officer like Griffin gets away with this?
Late backup isn't manslaughter. Have you got any medical evidence?
We spoke to the paramedics and the pathologist. If Griffin had gone to help Bentley even a couple of minutes earlier, he might have survived.
Ray Griffin left a fellow officer dying because the lad was gay.
Ronnie holds a stare with James, who sits at his desk.
We'll look at it.
Thank you.
No, Gov, yeah. No, Ronnie's in there right now. He's talking through possible charges with James at the moment, yeah. No, I haven't forgotten. Yeah, will do. Bye.
To Alicia.
It's like having two mums. How are you, anyway?
Some days are good. Last week I thought the whole world knew everyone was looking at me.
Well, if you need anything, you know, if you just want to talk, or not talk, or just company, you know. Nothing funny, I'm not cracking on to you.
Why not? I'm not broken, Matt.
Look, I think about what happened to you a lot. I wasn't sure if I should mention it. I'm a bit crap at this.
Just be the same. Same as always.
The issue is to be left to the jury whether a duty of care was owed to the deceased, whether there had been a breach of that duty, whether the breach had caused death. Archibald. Ray Griffin did not cause Nick Bentley's death. Aid Young fired the bullets. Defense will pile up ballistics, forensic, and eyewitness evidence from Young's fellow drug dealer. It is a non-starter.
I disagree.
Or do you know?
The bullet caused Bentley's injury. The omission to act caused death. If Griffin had intervened, Bentley could still be alive.
Can I just remind you that we owe our whole existence to a good relationship with the police? If we go after this, I will have to explain to the DPP exactly why we are committing institutional suicide.
So we never prosecute police because we need their goodwill?
No, correction. We never prosecute anyone unless we have a rock-solid case. And manslaughter, gross negligence, is one hell of a leap. Gay police have been out of the closet for years. You heard of the GPA?
George, we're talking about one man, not the entire police force.
Except that when the media gets a hold of it, he will be held up as representative of the entire police service.
But that's the whole point. By prosecuting, we'll show that he's not. Ray Griffin had knowledge and experience. His refusal to assist cost Bentley his life. I'm not going to let one bigoted police officer destroy the reputation of the entire police service. Public office is an honor and a responsibility, and abuse of that position has to be punished.
You build me that rock-solid case, but it'll need to be properly robust. If a police officer was left to die because he was gay, then we'll get the bastard who abandoned him.
With Sergeant Drake.
So, are you a member of the League of Faith for Christian Officers?
No, I'm not a member of the darts team or the line dancing either.
Do you think it's reasonable for them to refuse admission to gays?
It's a club. Clubs have membership rules. I can't stop them.
Do I think some of the officers here aren't wild about gays? Yes, I do.
Just as some of them are not wild about people with non-white skin. Just because people talk crap in their private lives does not make them bad police officers.
Do you think Ray Griffin left Nick Bentley to die?
Strapping on a stab vest, Drake turns round to Alicia.
Go and talk to the people who live around here. Ask them about Ray. They love him. And they feel safe when he's around.
You didn't answer my question.
He says he misheard his radio. I believe him.
Would you mind if I spoke to the officers who knew Griffin and Bentley best?
Ray looked after me. Ever since I joined, he knows everyone. Every corner of this manor.
What did he tell you about that night?
Nothing.
He didn't talk about it with you?
Mentioned it in passing.
In passing?
Why are you trying to trip me up? I knew you'd do this.
Barney, I'm not trying to upset you. I just want to get to the truth.
No, you don't. You just want to stitch him up. Why are you going after him? Nobody understands. It could have been any of us. And we're all gutted for Bentley, but we can't bring him back. That dealer killed Bentley, not Ray. End of.
He opens up the barred door to the holding cells and lets Alicia out. He watches her walk away. Outside with the WPC.
He was a laugh, Nick. He was a great bloke to be on beat with. He could always see the funny side of things.
From the rotor, it seems you and Nick were paired together pretty often.
Yep, put the gays together, whatever. You learn to expect it.
Is that why you transferred across the river here?
Listen, I've still got a career to build. If it looks like I'm snitching, trouble will just follow me.
Abby, we're investigating whether Nick was left to die because he was gay. Is there anything you think might be relevant?
There was a leaflet pushed under the doors of mine and Nick's locker.
God gave them over to degrading passions. The man abandoned the natural use of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty for their error. Romans 1:26-27.
Ray Griffin's DNA was all over that leaflet. That proves state of mind.
And what connects state of mind to the crime?
Ray Griffin failed to act as a reasonable person should in the circumstances. He breached his duty of care.
And did that breach cause Bentley's death? No. The bullet did.
Yes, but he could have prevented it. There was deliberate recklessness.
We have to prove criminal omission. And we haven't got enough. Now, you tried, but it ends here. Right, no manslaughter charge against Ray Griffin.
George, please!
I said no.
All right, then, misconduct in public office. Same sentencing power as manslaughter. Ray Griffin deliberately misconducted himself by leaving Bentley to die.
James is right. Griffin lied in his police interview about how far he ran, about whether he knew Nick Bentley was gay. He's undermining the uniform.
I'm not letting this go.
George takes a deep breath and frowns.
Maybe you might make it home with misconduct. If you had that missing CCTV.
It's too much of a coincidence that it went missing.
Who's Griffin close to? Is there anyone he might confide in?
Barney Goodison. Griffin was his mentor since he joined.
In a pub.
I just want to keep my head down. I don't want to upset anyone.
Why would you be upsetting anyone, Barney?
I wasn't there that night. I don't know what happened.
Then what are you scared about?
I'm not.
Well, you think you won't have a future in the police force if you upset Ray Griffin?
You're putting words in my mouth. He said you'd do that.
Then tell me your version.
You don't understand. He's a good bloke, Ray. He looks after a lot of people. He's been good to me.
Did he tell you what happened the night of Nick Bentley's death? You have a duty as an officer to tell me. Barney, if we don't find out what happened, we can't stop it happening again. And you'll be responsible.
Holding his cue, Barney avoids Alicia's hard stare, but leans closer.
He asked me to get something from him.
What was it?
They all watch CCTV footage of Ray loitering by a wall.
Ray sent me round to the property owners to get hold of the footage before anyone else did. He told me to destroy it. He said things might get misinterpreted.
This looks pretty clear to me.
I didn't know what to do. He's been so good to me, Ray. I was just gonna bin it, but then I took a look.
There are six different cameras from all around the scene.
And according to the transcripts of the calls, this is after Nick Bentley had been shot and was begging for help.
He stood there. He just stood there and waited.
How long has he stand there for?
5 minutes, I counted.
Well, he could have been giving his colleague first aid.
I told him I watched them. He went mad. He told me to hand them over, but I said no. Ray said he wanted to explain. He said he left it up to God. He didn't get a sign from God, so he didn't go to help. He said he thought it was God's will.
In the footage, Ray checks his watch. Ronnie and Matt approach Ray at the police station.
Ray?
Is this how it happens?
Raymond Griffin, I'm arresting you on suspicion of misconduct in public office.
No cuffs. Head up. I go with honour.
A stony-faced Ray marches between Ronnie and Matt, who share a glance as they follow him down the corridor. Ray wears a fixed grimace on his face. Central Criminal Courts.
Lady, the charge of misconduct in public office is the last refuge of the desperate. I mean, this might be a matter for internal police discipline, but not criminal proceedings.
Mr. Steele?
As a public officer, Mr. Griffin deliberately and without reasonable justification neglected his duty, resulting in PC Bentley's death.
Then why not prosecute a charge of manslaughter, gross negligence? Because the Crown knows that such a charge would never succeed.
My lady, Mr. Griffin's actions that night damaged the service and the character of every police officer in this city. The Crown argues that public officials must be held to the highest standards.
My client may have made an error of professional judgment for which he's been systematically victimized by the Crown.
Mr. Griffin left the real victim of this crime bleeding to death on a London street. The Crown will call evidence of Mr. Griffin's homophobic beliefs which led to that action and contributed to willful misconduct.
Thank you, Mr. Steele.
The defender Ridley nods at Ray nearby. James glances over.
Mr. Ridley. Your application to dismiss is, refused.
Ridley and James share a glance, then sit down. In the seats behind them, Alicia smiles. George is in James's office.
Where is she?
You asked her?
Good God, no. Have you?
Not really. It's been hard to find the time.
Goodness sake, you're a friend. Find the right time. Ask her how she is. Then let me know.
Alicia and James go through documents.
So, the key issue is whether the wounds were treatable. Whether emergency assistance could have prevented or delayed death.
James looks anxiously at Alicia.
Listen, you should be more involved in this one. We'll split the witnesses. You call the pathologist and Sergeant Drake.
Really?
Yeah. Keep them both focused on Griffin's duties and the extent of his misconduct.
She puts down the folder dubiously.
What? You've done all the research, all the prep, you know it better than I do.
She eyes James across the desk.
And that's the only reason.
You're ready.
You're doing this to make things better. It's a sympathy thing.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. You're ready to step up.
Thank you. I won't let you down.
Crown versus Griffin, Trial Day 7, Tuesday 3rd of November. Wearing a black cape and white shirt, Alicia sits alongside James, who also wears a white wig. She looks nervous. In uniform, Sergeant Drake stands confidently in the dock. Alicia gets to her feet. Ridley watches across the dimly lit courtroom. He mutters something to his male junior. James eyes Alicia, who takes a sip of water. George watches from the seats behind them.
Sergeant Drake, how long have you known Ray Griffin?
Ray Griffin and I have worked together for 9 years, during which time I find him to be an exemplary officer, highly valued by the community he serves.
Could you recite the first line of the police oath, which you and Ray Griffin took when you joined the service, please?
I'm sorry?
The oath taken by every police officer. Could you recite the first line?
I do solemnly and sincerely declare and affirm that I will, well and truly, serve our Sovereign Lady the Queen in the office of Constable. Without favour or affection, malice or ill will.
Thank you. Could you read the text on the front of this leaflet?
A court bailiff takes the leaflet from Alicia's hand and carries it over to Sergeant Drake, who reads from it.
If a man lies with a male as those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination and they shall surely be put to death, Leviticus 20:13.
Ray Griffin produced that leaflet and placed it under the locker of gay PCs Abby Malini and Nick Bentley. Sergeant Drake, would you agree that such an act contradicts the police oath by, in fact, demonstrating ill will and malice towards gay officers?
We are a country that believes in free speech.
Would you expect an officer under your command to come to the aid of a dying man?
Well, every circumstance is different. There may well be a risk
of... Do you regard it as a police officer's public duty to assist a dying man?
Yes.
So if an officer failed in this duty, he wouldn't just be in breach of his oath. He would be guilty of misconduct.
A portly man.
The bullet severed the femoral artery, causing massive loss of blood.
How long did it take Nick Bentley to bleed to death?
According to the evidence I read, a little over 4 minutes.
So if help had arrived within 4 minutes, would PC Bentley's chances of survival have increased?
Absolutely.
Thank you. No further questions.
She sits down. Ridley stands up.
PC Bentley's chances of survival would have increased, you say? But not certain?
It's impossible to be certain.
Well, you're certain of the cause of PC Bentley's death?
Well, yes, as I said, the bullet severed his femoral artery.
Bullet from a gun shot by Aid Young. In your expert medical opinion, did PC Griffin cause any injury to PC Bentley?
No.
Well, if PC Griffin had got to the scene more quickly, given medical support, would PC Bentley have survived?
It's possible.
But not certain?
She did well in there. She'll be giving you a run for your money soon enough.
She does that anyway.
We've got a problem. I just got the word from Ridley's junior. They're challenging the admissibility of the CCTV footage.
Limbo Ridley at it again. It's a key part of your case. If he gets that ruled out, then you're in big trouble.
M'lady, this footage is such poor quality. It's blurred and grainy. It really ought to be excluded under Section 78 of PACE.
My lady, this is the first time the defense have raised the issue.
Section 78 is clear. Where there's little or no probative value to the evidence, but the potential for serious prejudicial effect, the evidence ought not to be admitted. It's simply not safe to leave this footage to a jury, m'lady. The quality is not good enough to be certain it's my client.
The jury should be left to decide that for themselves.
No, I'm not with you, Mr. Steele. The quality of the pictures leave too much to be desired. The prejudicial effect of the evidence far outweighs any probative value it might have. The CCTV and any reference to it will be excluded.
Ridley glances across at James smugly.
What do we do now?
I told you, I've got nothing worth saying in court.
Barney, the judge won't let the CCTV in. We need you as a witness. You've seen it. Ray Griffin talked to you about it. You have to tell the jury.
I don't know what you're talking about. I never seen no CCTV of Ray.
What?
Ray is a good man, a great officer. He was just late that night.
Barney, please. We need you to tell the truth. Without you, Ray Griffin might not be held accountable for Nick Bentley's death.
I've got nothing to say. I need to get on with my job.
James, Alicia and George are in the chamber outside the courtroom.
Someone must have got to Barney.
I imagine Ray Griffin has friends everywhere, not just in the police. They must have put Barney under pressure.
And you've got to do the same thing to Ray Griffin in the witness box. Take him apart, James. It's your only hope of winning.
I joined the force in 1989. I have been proudly serving the community for 20 years. My whole career has been about serving the public.
What's your opinion of gay police officers, PC Griffin?
If they get on with the job, don't bother me, I don't mind.
James nods slowly.
I just follow what it says in the Bible.
What church do you attend?
I've never found one that worked for me, but my faith is very important.
You're not really a religious man at all, are you?
I beg your pardon?
You don't belong to a church. You lift phrases from the Bible out of context, devoid of comprehension, to justify your own prejudices. This is bigotry masquerading as faith, isn't it? You're an insult to all those people who actually have genuine faith.
I fail to see how the private matter of PC Griffin's faith is relevant.
PC Griffin's beliefs are central to his motive for misconducting himself.
Move on, please, Mr. Steele.
James shares a glance with Ridley, then folds his arms, looking at Ray.
Where were you when PC Bentley lay bleeding to death?
I was making my way down from Leek Street. I misheard my radio. I got there as fast as I could.
James glances round again.
You're quite certain about that?
100%.
How many times in your career have you misheard your radio?
I couldn't say offhand. It's rare, but it happens. I ran to Creek Street as soon as I realized my mistake.
So why don't the times of your supposed run add up, PC Griffin?
Because I didn't make it all the way there.
It didn't happen at all as you describe, did it? You didn't mishear your radio. You heard Nick Bentley being shot, you went straight to Creek Street, and you refused to give him medical assistance, which could have saved his life.
Not true.
In failing to help him, you misconducted yourself, undermining every value you claim to have ever worked for.
I tried my best that night.
You didn't just let Nick Bentley die. You betrayed every ounce of trust the public has ever placed in its police officers, didn't you?
I'm not the one who fired the gun, sir.
Do you know the parable of the Good Samaritan, PC Griffin?
Of course I do.
What sort of Samaritan are you?
I did that boy no harm.
To the jury.
Nick Bentley was 24. He was respected and loved by all who knew him. He had a bright future ahead of him. A future cut short by Ray Griffin's failure to assist him because Nick Bentley was gay. In failing to help Nick Bentley, the defendant deliberately misconducted himself and breached the trust we all place in our public officers.
There is no Good Samaritan law. Put simply, we're not obliged to help one another. Whatever the events of that night, PC Griffin did not commit misconduct. That's a serious charge with grave consequences. Would it be right to convict a well-respected police officer because a drug dealer killed his colleague? No. I urge you not to convict.
In relation to the count of misconduct in public office, do you find the defendant guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
In the dock, Ray bows his head and exhales. James also bows his head, wearing a heavy frown. He looks round at Matt, Ronnie and Natalie, who are sitting in the seats behind him. Ray nods once, then makes his way out of the dock. In the gallery nearby, Sergeant Drake looks down at the floor. Ronnie stands up and heads across the courtroom. Ridley stands. Alicia remains seated, anxiously rubbing her chin. She looks round at James. Ray comes face to face with Ronnie. Ray smiles thinly at Ronnie. Matt ushers Ronnie calmly out of the courtroom as Ray shakes hands with Ridley. Outside the courthouse, Alicia sits with James.
Maybe we were wrong to go after him.
No. We had a duty to Nick Bentley.
Well, at least we've drawn a line in the sand, so it never happens again.
You really think we've come that far? It'll happen again. And next time, we'll get them.
The characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious, and accordingly, any similarity between them and actual characters or events is entirely coincidental. ITFC, audio description.